Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
From the halls of assembly, you'll hear a screaming shout. Our love of Indiana is manic and devout. Everything I do, we discuss in unique manner. We won't be satisfied until we hang another banner. Us two goofy guys go by names of Ward and Eric. And as you probably know by now, we're Hoosier Hysterics. Hoosier Hysterics. Hoosier Hysterics.
Hello, Ward.
Hello, Eric.
It's very strange. We've been doing them one a week, but it feels like it's been months since we did the last one. I don't know. I just have this weird absence feeling.
We haven't communicated that much since the last one. I think that's part of it. You know, there hasn't been a lot of
now news. I know why my life's been better. Now I get it.
Your hair is starting to grow back. Everything's just less stressful.
I do have a bone to pick with you about our communication, and I will do that as soon as we tell people that we are
powered by
CommunityCars.com, sponsor of the Pod Hoosier Hysterics. CommunityCars.com, Hoosier Legends Talk with Ward and Eric. CommunityCars.com.
We reversed it. I went into the intro. You picked it up. Usually we screw that up. But in this case, it was just like riding a bike. You just never forget how to do it. And you nailed it.
Well, you know what's better than riding a bike? Driving a community car. A community car from Community Cars. You could go to communitycars.com and buy yourself a community car. It's cars sold to you by people from your community. People like Evan Martin.
Yeah, and people that buy from the community too, including Indiana basketball stars like Malik Renew, who just bought his first car ever from Evan Martin and from Community Cars. He got a sensible car. It you know, obviously Malik's making money with NIL. He needs a car to get around. And we talked to him about getting him over to Community Cars because we knew they would take care of him. But it was time for Malik to put on the big boy pants and buy a car. And he did so and just had the best experience because Evan and the crew at Community Cars take care of him. But this is the perfect example of a guy who, like, he didn't want to go crazy. He had a little bit of money that he put aside together. He knew how much he wanted to spend. And Evan shopped him through all the brands and found the perfect car. It's a badass car, but not ridiculous. It's not stupid. And there you go. Malik Renew bought his first car. Get that credit score up. I love it.
If they got cars for a dude who's 6'8", they can get you in a car. They can get you in whatever car it is you want or need.
For your physical limitations or constraints and your financial limitations and constraints, they've got a car that fits all.
Dude, could they hook me up with a car that takes into account my mental constraints?
Nope. Have not done that yet. You've got to wait for autonomous.
I need a real self-driving car to take me around.
All right. Here, I want to talk about our communication. This is not just you, but it is a pet peeve of mine that I just want to get your take on. Clearly, you are on the other side of this. Here's the deal.
Yep.
Like you said, we haven't communicated much.
Nope.
But we set up the time to do this interview today. Mm-hmm. And I send you a text this morning that just says, hey, just making sure, confirming, 1 o'clock. What about getting on earlier and doing the intro at 12:30?
Yep.
And you return with just the stupid thumbs up emoji.
Oh, you mean the incredibly efficient says everything it needs to say thumbs up emoji? Yeah, sure.
Communication isn't just about efficiency. It's about being nice to people.
And well, How about this? I know you're on it. You're on it. As a dude, as a human being, you're on it. What I was on when I received that message was the treadmill. And I'm not going to sit there and jump off the treadmill and say, hey, buddy, it's really good to hear from you over text. I'm really looking forward to our time together and with our guests today. So good hearing from you. You can count on me. I'll be there. Thumbs up. You know right away, okay, confirm for 1 o'clock, confirm for 12:30 for the intro, and we can go about our day.
Not buying it. You love doing those stupid voice memos you barely type into your phone as is. You're on the treadmill. Boom. Cool. Thanks, man. See you soon. That's all it took. You could have done that.
Nope.
The thumbs up is, I find, rude, arrogant, and dismissive, and I don't like it. I once responded to someone, I'm not going to say the talent, but I was back and forth with a talent that we were shooting a show. And this is years ago, and we're shooting a show, and that, and I, there's a million things going on. It's like half an hour before the show, and he's up in his dressing room, and I'm on the floor getting things ready for the to shoot this episode. And he sent me like a kind of a meaningless text, and I responded K, just the letter K. So he comes down, we're getting ready, we do the opening thing. Music hits, he walks down, and before he starts his like monologue, he goes, before we start, my producer, Eric, right there, and I was on the floor, he goes, he sent me a message that just had K in it. Fuck that. Don't you ever send me a message that has K in it. I'm like, are you kidding me? This is what we're going to do? So maybe I am burned by that, the brevity of what I thought was an efficient response. At least that was a letter. You couldn't even do letter. You got to send me a hieroglyphic. No. I don't like it. I don't like it. Here's what I do like.
For the record, I was just giving Eric the thumbs up. That's just for the people watching video.
And for the record, I am giving Ward the middle finger up. It's funny that Zoom doesn't do that as an automatic reaction.
Yeah, I would have loved a bunch of balloons to come floating down when you flipped me off.
All right. Listen, transfer portal mania is about to end. It looks like Indiana has honed in on its last couple. We've got two spots remaining. It's been kind of boring since, you know, we just took over the portal.
Yeah. This is why I'm saying why we haven't really like talked much in the last week. Obviously, we are narrowing who the last one or two may be. But it was just such a frenzy postseason portal mania, portal pandemonium, that it was like, yeah, I guess we're just going to mop up here with a couple more like great role players, maybe a backup five, maybe another shooter. And just have the greatest roster since 1993.
Yeah, I mean, we're looking at Langdon Hatton originally from Ramsey, Indiana, but played at Bellarmine. Seems like a role player five to spare Balo and Malik at times. And then still looking at this Alex Hemingway, who's got other options. I think he visited Vanderbilt this weekend. He's visiting Maryland, I believe, is another one that he's looking at, and Indiana. And both kids grew up, you know, ostensibly Hoosier fans. So we'll see what happens there. But, you know, these are role players that, you know, in case of injury, in case of foul trouble, you just never know when somebody's going to be on your roster that can come in and, you know, give you a game or two that can actually win you a game. If Alex Hemingway's on the team, there could be a game or two where he comes in and knocks in 3-4 threes, and that could make a difference, you know, between winning and losing. So
absolutely.
It is much more boring than it was a couple weeks ago, mm-hmm. but it is exciting to get closer. Every week is closer to actually seeing this team. And it's going to be exciting. Like you said, I mean, it really could be the best roster overall top to bottom since you were joking, I think.
I was.
But it could be from a just straight talent perspective.
I'm not going to go. I'll go back to our last Big Ten championship.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely the most talented on paper since 2016. Is it more talented than Cody, Vic, Christian, Jordy? I don't know. And there's a lot of talent on this team. A lot of talent.
Oh, boy. I wouldn't say in the top five. Trying to think of, you know, if you get into the benches a little bit. I don't know, boy. That was the number one team in the country. I don't think so. You had two top four draft picks. I don't think so. No.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. We did have two top four draft picks into the NBA. And speaking of the NBA.
Oh, yeah.
We got Pacers Knicks, baby. We got, this is old school basketball. This is like us growing up. This is 90s. This is good shit.
My fondest memories of NBA basketball are the Pacers Knicks playoff series in the 90s. Went to some of those games with my dad. The loudest arena I've ever been in. Okay, maybe it ties a couple of the Bloomington games, you know, the Temple win, the Michigan State win. But man, that Market Square Arena was rocking. Spike Lee was there. Reggie Miller was there. I hate all those Knicks to this day. I admit, I kind of like this Knicks team. I liked watching them, rooting for them against the 76ers. But now I'm prepared, you know, because these are two teams that are built to be these teams for a few years. I'm now prepared to, like, I can never hate OG. I love OG, obviously. But
it's
like,
hard
okay.
To hate Jalen Brunson. It's hard to hate him. He plays the game so well, and he plays it uniquely, and isn't obnoxious out there, you know. Just, they don't have the obnoxious players that they had back in those days, where if you were not a Knicks fan, they were obnoxious.
Like you look at John Stark's face, you know nothing else about him. You look at his face and you want to punch it.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
But I do. I will be curious to see how much bad blood gets going, because the Bucks series was pretty gnarly. It was pretty chippy. Like, definitely a rivalry going with the Bucks right now. Will the Knicks versus Hicks, the Dicks versus Hicks, I'll say it. Yes. Will I start to hate some of these guys that I've liked watching for New York? Because, you know, like us, they've been underdogs for so long, even longer than us. It's been a much longer stretch for them from like being in the playoffs. But look, the Pacers hadn't won a series in a decade. So it's just so fun for both of these franchises to be into the elite eight of the NBA.
And look, the Pacers are fun to watch. They are maddening to watch as well at times, because look, they should have swept the Bucks without Giannis. I mean, you take the best player off the team, an MVP candidate. They should not go. What did they go? Did they end up going six games?
Yeah, they went four. Went 4-2.
You shouldn't go six games. You shouldn't get. And then Dame Lillard wasn't.
No, there. I don't think it would. It should be a sweep when you've got.
It should have been five most.
Yeah, that's fine. But like, you've got Dame, playoff Dame. You've got Middleton, who's won a ring. Like, there's a lot of experience and home court for Milwaukee. And I mean, like, besides Pascal, almost nobody, I don't think anybody else on the Pacers has won a playoff series. And very few of them have even played in the playoffs. So it's one of those things where, how are these guys going to grow up before our very eyes? And, you know, they took care of business, and we'll see if they can take. I don't think they have an answer for Brunson, but I do feel like they're deeper and they have more weapons overall. But look, I think something like 16 out of 16 ESPN experts picked the Knicks. Like, it was like nobody is expecting the Pacers to win, and I think that's the perfect position to be in.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun series. Lots of good basketball in the NBA. The Nuggets-Timberwolves is awesome. That first game was incredible. Anthony Edwards is so much fun to watch play.
Like, Anthony Edwards, you're like, are we about to see him take over the league / the world? Because with the Olympics coming up and Team USA, is it not like in another year or two or three? Like, if he beats the Nuggets, if he puts this team on his back and they beat the Nuggets, people are going to start saying, is he maybe the best player in the world? Because he just took out the team that has the current best player in the world.
Yeah. It reminds me of, like, not reminds me, but makes me think that this is got to be close to what it was like watching Michael in like year two or three in the NBA. Now, Michael was a little bit more refined coming in because he played longer in college, played for Dean Smith for 3 years. and got a lot of experience playing against high level players because so few went to the NBA early back then.
Well,
so
I mean, he had a battle against Dan Dockage. Of course he was going to be sharp right. coming out.
But he was just more refined than Anthony and older than Anthony when Anthony, you know, his first couple of years. But this is Anthony at like 21, 22.
He's 22.
I think. Yeah. 22. Like Michael at 22 was in his rookie year, you know, and second year in the league. This is like, it feels like we're watching the birth of the best player in the league and in the world. And he's got that like Kobe mentality and Michael mentality where he just wants to kill everybody. Mm-hmm. And he's young enough and athletic enough where he can just murder people on the court. So he is super fun to watch. Great personality. Anyway, it's fun time to watch NBA basketball. I know a lot of college basketball fans don't enjoy watching NBA. I don't get it. It's watching the people that are the best at the sport that you love do things that shouldn't be possible.
And in the playoffs, the level of intensity, the defense, if that's part of what bugs you about the NBA, look, the defense is good all the time, but it goes to another level. And just the physicality and the desire of these guys to kill everybody, to your point, I do. I think it is thrilling, and I'm going to watch as many of the remaining games as humanly possible.
A week from tomorrow, by the time this airs, you and I heading back to Bloomington.
Back to the greatest city in the world. We're going to be pressing the flesh. We're going to be hanging out with the good people at the IU Ventures Summit. It should be really, really fun there inside the Memorial Union.
Yep. We're going to be doing a podcast from the Founders and Funders Conference that they do, talking to people that come to network. You should still go to iuventures.com. There may be some slots left, but we will be in town. Can't wait for that. And while we are there, we will definitely stop by Alumni Hall, our favorite new merchandise place for all your IU gear needs. If you can't make it to Bloomington, go to alumnihall.com and just choose Indiana as your team at the top. It's got what I love about it is it's got all the stuff that you want to see in like what you used to go to the IU Union bookstore for, or TIS. It's got all that stuff and all the cool stuff that you see online from the various brands. 19.9 and even some home field stuff I think they carry there, and Adidas. And I mean, just anything that is cool, they've got.
Because we used to have to piece it together. We go to TIS. We go to the Union. We go to a couple of the other shops on Kirkwood and maybe piece together something for everybody. But it's one-stop shopping now for our swag, and it's one block from the Graduate. So it is like the custom-made IU swag shop just for what we need and really for any IU fan.
Yeah, I love the company too because they figured something out that seems like low-hanging fruit that no one else figured out, but like the Graduate figured it out. The Graduate was like, hey, you know what? Why don't we do a really nice hotel in a bunch of college towns that take on the elements of that college town and make that the decor of the building and all that? And that's why the Graduate is the best hotel in all of Bloomington. And Alumni Hall was like, why aren't we just creating the best merchandise store in each town and each college town and take the best of all the merchandise that is available and make sure that we have that in the store and on our website? Yeah, that's why they're the ones with the store and we're the idiots telling you to go there. alumnihall.com, choose Indiana, love them. And also if you're a student, faculty, or military, you get a discount if you show up right next to the Graduate right there on Kirkwood. So, yeah, man, this is an interesting one. You know, we know this gentleman very well. I've been excited to talk to him because his career is now over. It is in the rearview mirror and he's always been good to us. It's been an up and down ride for him at Indiana in his 17 years there. And so there's a lot of stuff to chat about. So what do you say we get to it?
I say yes.
Here comes our guest. Here comes our guest.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, he's back. He's back for his exit interview. Not just one of our favorite IU basketball players, one of our favorite human beings. It's sad, but we're also always excited to see him, even if his time with the IU basketball team is done. Eric, who is this fine man and friend of ours?
Hailing from the DMV, By way of Woodbridge, Virginia, we are talking to a gentleman who started his collegiate career at Pitt before making the best decision of his life and coming to Indiana University, where he will always be remembered for the very end of his first season in Bloomington, an 8-game stretch where he had 57 assists to only 20 turnovers. He went 15 of 30 shooting from the three-point line. He was averaging 17.4 points and 7.1 assists per game to help lead Indiana from outside of the NCAA tournament into the NCAA tournament, where he then helped lead us to our first NCAA tournament win, and it seemed like a couple centuries. He then, of course, had to deal with injuries in his second year at Indiana before being granted a medical redshirt for last year. Again, an up-and-down year, had to deal with several injuries, and we'll get to that, but did make it back for the end of the season, where he helped lead Indiana out of the morass into a 5-game win streak, which helped end the season, giving fans some hope and showing us how good this guy could be when he was healthy and at his best. We are, of course, talking to the man, Xavier Johnson. How we doing?
I'm good. How you guys?
We're great. Where are you? You still in town? Like, what's going on?
Yeah. I mean, I'm still in town. I leave tomorrow, actually. Yeah, I leave tomorrow and go to Dallas. I go to Dallas first, and then I go to Vegas after that.
What? All right, wait a minute. So yeah. Tell us what's going on.
Yeah, like, why Dallas? Why Vegas? Give us all the news.
I got invited to, like, a little senior combine in Dallas, and then I'm going to Vegas for pre-draft workouts.
Nice. So does that mean you have teams that you're working out for, or do you just go and hope that, like, you just show up and say, let me work out?
Nah, so the pre-draft is usually, like, where you just work out, and you got to stay ready. You got to get ready and stay ready. And for that, I'm going to Vegas to work with a shooting coach, because, you know, that's my main focal point of my individual.
Yeah, your improvement, right? That's what you're focusing on.
Individual improvement, yeah. Yeah, so I'm basically going out there for that. And, you know, hopefully I get better at shooting and maybe more consistent at that. And I think my game would be almost damn near complete.
So, and then in Dallas, is that for the Mavs, or is that for a bunch of different teams? Who's going to be there for that?
It's like a little combine. So I think it said 30 scouts are supposed to be there. All the teams supposed to be there. So, you know, it'll be a good thing to go work out in front of. And, you know, to actually play well and to be healthy, 100% back healthy.
That was my next question. How are you feeling?
I feel 100%. I feel 100% now. Yeah, you know, my elbow, when I came back during the season for the last 6 or 7 games for the season, I was still hurt. You know, I was still wearing the big old brace on my arm. And it was hard playing, but, you know, I was happy to be out there with my teammates.
Are you thinking about trying to get a 7th year red shirt for Indiana?
I was trying to. I was actually trying. No, I'm playing.
So how long did it take you after the season ended? You know, we're here in early May now, so the season's been over about 6 weeks, let's say, or so, maybe a little longer than that. How long did it take you to get healthy?
You know, I actually just got back healthy for a matter of like 2 weeks ago, honestly. You know, my elbow was still swollen. It was still healing. Yeah, because, you know, at the time I was still beating up on it for the 7 games. But, you know, I'm really happy, you know, the way things ended. You know, it didn't end the way I wanted to. You know, I wanted to actually go to the tournament for my last season. You know, it's just been hard, honestly. But, you know, I'm really happy the way it ended, though.
I feel like it's too soon for you to make peace with something like that. How much are you lying awake at night being like, oh, if I just gotten back a few games sooner? Like, they needed you. You knew they needed you. They knew that they needed you.
That they knew that they needed you.
We all knew that you knew that we knew that they knew that they needed you. So of course it had to feel good to come back and make see that win streak come together after it'd been like, what, we'd lost 10 of 14 without you in there. But how are you making peace with it, not letting it drive you crazy that you were so snake bitten this season and really the last 2 seasons?
You know, actually, I've been, you know, the last 2 seasons, actually, you know, I talk about my 5th year more than my 6th year, honestly, because, you know, we had a really, really, really talented team. You know, me, Fino at the guard spot, and then we had Miller Cobb at the 3, Race at the 4. and Trace at the five, of course.
Did you almost forget that Trace was the five? It looked like you almost forgot that Trace was the five.
Trace was the all-time player, so, you know, he played all positions.
Yeah, you know what's funny? In prepping for this, you know, I go through and I look at the game logs and just revisit some articles and stuff. And I went on your Twitter account, and the pic that you have like as your background for your Twitter is a quote. I should say it's your X account, which is perfect for you, of course. But it's a quote that says, "Remember, you asked for growth. Don't be surprised when life challenges you." That's the quote you have up there. I can't think of a more appropriate quote for what you've had to go through. You know, some of it totally not your fault. Some of it your responsibility too. And we'll talk a little bit about that. But look, that's part of life, right?
Yeah, it is part.
But do you, to just piggyback on what Ward was saying, do you have people you talk to about those kind of things? How do you deal on a daily basis? Look, I've gone to therapy. Ward's gone to therapy.
For like a decade. I just need it more often.
But you know, I've gone through it with my relationships and stuff.
I talk to my dad. I talk to my dad and my parents a lot. Because they've been through life longer than me, and the person I look up to is for advice. And they're always going to be there for me, and they will continue to be there for me. It was actually hard. Life challenged me really, really hard multiple times. Like you said, some of it was on me, and some of them quite not. Sure. But, you know, ones that was really on me, you know, I just had to really take accountability and have some humility about everything. My last year here, you know, that's one big word that was used to me a lot. Humility. You know, I had to have humility about myself, humility about everything that I've done. I think that truly shows a lot of growth.
Were there former teammates, current teammates, maybe former players, whether it be from IU or somewhere else, that came along over these last couple of seasons where I'm sure you felt lonely a lot of the time and just like kind of hopeless that would you ever get back on the court? Were there people who reached out to you and you know, kind of just helped you get through?
My fifth year, I would say when I got hurt, I would say Scoop was a big vocal point. He was always in my corner. He was damn near my roommate. He lived across the street from me. He'd always be in my house, chilling with me, you know, vibing with me and talking with me, you know, just keeping me in good spirits. He's truly a good friend to me. He's one of my best friends. And I really, really appreciate him, you know, coming. But I wish he would have came back for his junior year. You know, I told him I wanted him to be be on the team too as well with us last year. I think he would have helped a lot. But you know, he's in a better place now too as well. My sixth year, who really helped a lot. It was honestly a lot of Maddie White, Miss Lowe, Coach Cliff. All the trainers, the whole training staff, the whole coaching staff, even at home, my family, my girlfriend. I think a lot of people actually, you know, kept me in good spirits, you know, kept my hopes high. It was actually a really challenging year up and down. I wasn't the player I was, the same player I was. You know, I was still battling back from my injuries, and you know, it's hard to really gain a rhythm when you're not in something for I would say a good month. I lost my rhythm a little bit. It was really hard to get back out there to act the same way. But, you know, I just try to keep my energy high and just be a good teammate.
Well, let's talk about the season a little bit, because the season starts. You're coming off of getting granted that sixth year medical red shirt, which was not easy to get. Indiana had to put a lot of resources into that, obviously, but they did. But you are still coming back from that injury. The year before was touch and go whether you were going to play, and then it was, you know, we talked about this on prior podcasts with you, it just wasn't, you weren't 100%. So the season starts, and the first few games, you know, the team starts off a little bumpy, truthfully. Like, we're winning games, but, you know, we're beating Florida Gulf Coast and Army, and but not by a lot. Like, and some of those games seemed closer than they should have been, at least from a fan perspective. You started off okay, 14 points in one game, 19 points in another. How did you feel in those first few games, both personally, this being your first time playing in a year, and also the team?
You know, I was really in good spirits. I was happy. It's all get out. Like, then, you know, just to be back on the floor and put on an Indiana jersey, it means a lot to me. You know, it was just like, you know, I've been through so much, like, for the past year, and to get back out there to see all the hard work I put in to be back on the floor, and you know, to have glimpses of me looking like myself. Because, you know, I think it was I don't know which game it was where I actually got a dunk. I was really actually surprised I dunked the ball again, because that's when I really like felt like really, really good about myself. And, you know, I thought I was getting back to myself as well, and I thought I was getting ready to take the next step as a player to granted what I was going to do last year, for my fifth year. You know, I thought I was actually going to take that next step. But, you know, life hits you in many different angles. You just got to keep competing and keep going hard and keep grinding.
Were you 100%? Did you feel like, was your foot 100% in those first few games?
No, I honestly didn't. You know, I didn't really understand, because I never actually had a bone broken in my body besides my finger, but that's nothing. Right. But that happened my sophomore year of high school, where I broke my middle finger. Yeah, that sounds crazy. But yeah, I was definitely not 100%. I definitely didn't understand, like, you know, what my body had to really actually feel like to be 100%. You know, I would tell people I would tell people, you know, I feel good enough to go out there, but I don't think my foot was really 100% yet. Because I really don't know why, but. Because after games, it would be really sore, you know, and it wouldn't feel right. Because, you know, I do have a screw on my foot now, and it's quite different playing with it. And I think the beginning of the season, I had to play with, like, plates on my foot. And then, like, once I got towards the end, I took them out. Because my feet started feeling way, way better.
Well, so those first three games, you know, again, we win, but not great. And then you run headfirst into the ultimate national champion, the best team in the country, by a pretty wide margin, UConn. Yeah. And they just slapped us in the face, right? I mean, that you're playing in New York City, which is fun. Big attention on that game. You get in foul trouble in that game and don't get to play much. What was that experience like, just running into that buzzsaw? And what did you think playing them? Did you kind of realize this team is just a notch higher than everybody else?
You know, I just thought they were really well put together. You know, I thought they were older. They had a lot of older guys. You know, I think that was actually a problem this year. They actually showed to our growth wise, you know, because I really thought we were a really young team, besides outside of me being the oldest, 24, one of the oldest people in college basketball. But I think we were a really young team besides me. You know, I just think that, you know, it really opened our eyes. And I thought, like, even for that game, I was actually hurt in that game too as well. That's when I actually stretch fracture in my left foot. I found out after that weekend.
So yeah, that's what I was going to ask. So you heard it in that UConn game or going into the UConn game?
No, I heard it before. It was the Wright State game.
And you hurt the same foot?
No, I hurt my other foot then. Oh, I heard the foot fracture.
Did you and Eric get your feet from the same foot store?
Yeah. We have the same brittle feet. Yeah, the difference is you're breaking yours going like 1,000 miles an hour playing high-end basketball. I'm breaking mine stepping off of my stairs in my back porch. So it's a little different. So you weren't 100% going into that UConn game. You get in foul trouble. We get smacked. But then you come back against Louisville. You play 31 minutes in that game on a stress fracture. You score 14 points, 5 assists, and you lead us to that win, truthfully, which we needed to come out of there with a win. But are you in real pain throughout the game? And that we just
I was in a lot of pain. I was trying to tell Timmy G, like, they were playing me in glimpses, trying to take me in and out, because I was telling my foot started really, really hurting. And it kind of gotten bad. You know, I kind of wish I didn't actually play on in the UConn game. But, you know, I really just couldn't miss the UConn game. I really couldn't. Playing the national champs, you can't miss that game. Honestly, you can't.
Mentioned the youth of this year's team, and you do. You lose Trace Jackson Davis. Turns out, not just a great college basketball player. Pretty good at the NBA level, too. Jalen, obviously, especially in your absence last year, went to just incredible heights his one season in Bloomington and was drafted accordingly by the Lakers. So now
You and are... Grayson Miller, too. Two guys that have played each 5 and 6 years.
Yeah, those guys were on the X plan of just milking college as long as possible.
That's right.
Yeah.
And look, right? I'm glad you said that, because any of us would do that, man. Like, of course. Like that, if you can get paid to stay in college, you know,
particularly in Bloomington.
Yeah, and unless you're going to get a guarantee in the NBA, of course you're going to do that. I'm glad you're at least transparent and honest about that. God bless you.
Oh yeah. You know, people actually like, you know, when they make fun of us and you know, about the older guys, you know, being in college for so long, it's like, one, you don't know these guys' stories. That's in college for so long, and two, you don't know where they come from and their background. So, you know, to you know, talk about an athlete or you know, a college student too as well. You know, that's just trying to, you know, make it to the next level and get to where they want in life. You know, I just don't think it's right to talk about players in that case scenario. I really don't.
I think it's a great point, and I feel like whenever anybody's talking like that, it's in these broad generalities of, it's ruining the game and rah. But then as soon as you break down to them individual stories of who these players are, where they come from, how it's affecting their family in such a positive way, they change their tune very quickly when they start to hear about you as individuals rather than just college basketball is being ruined.
I don't think it's ruining college basketball. You know, I think it brings more light to college basketball, honestly. Because, you know, even with this year, you know, Caitlin Clark stayed in for her fifth year as well. Like, everybody appreciated her. It's just, you know, it's just everybody has life is a marathon.
I don't think this was Caitlin's fifth year. I think it was her fourth. But she could have left the year before, I think. Yeah, I think
for sure.
You're right.
You were really frozen there.
But you're right in that she definitely could have bounced.
Yeah, she definitely could have bounced. Definitely could have came back and you know, made more money, but you know, to be in the NBA, WNBA, number one pick, she would a great team, Indiana Fever.
Yeah, I mean, a little different on the women's side because she's going to take a pay cut. But
Nike's stepping into the void with her signature.
Nike definitely then it took care of that. So
that's true. All right, so then you go out the Harvard game.
Sorry. I was asking a question.
First of all, don't yell at me like that.
You are the only person I will
just
yell at.
Get to it.
Except my children, which there's a similarity there. X.
Both smarter than you.
Easily. X, coach. You were my coach. Great. Both times. I left you wanting more on the court. I wish I'd hit more shots, right? But you were a leader for this team, whether you were injured or not. For all these young guys, so much experience left as we started off this segment talking about. How did you go about, whether you were on the court or off, getting guys, you know, like McKenzie, like Khalil, you know, how did you get them up to speed and what it means to not only play college basketball, but to be an Indiana Hoosier specifically?
You know, I just try to be the example. You know, I'm not really a guy that, you know, can tell you a lot, but I will try to lead by example. That's the one main thing that I try to do in every case and scenario. You know, with McKenzie, though, I try to, you know, try to talk to him too. You know, because he was a young guy, didn't really understand, like, he had a lot of expectations on him over his shoulders, but he didn't really understand, like, to, you know, like, what college basketball really is. And I think that, you know, people actually saw his growth towards the end of the year as the year gone on, even with Khalil too as well. You know, the things that they were saying about him with his motor and things like that. And I don't take credit for his motor either, but I'll give most of that credit to actually Coach Woody, because Coach Woody and all the whole coaching staff really pushed him the whole year to, you know, to be the player that he is and to keep growing.
You brought up Mac, so I do want to bring up one of the bad times. Mac went through some shit that he had to deal with early on involving a Taco Bell and police. I mean, look, it's what happened. It's what happened. X, you dealt with some law enforcement stuff in Indiana that you got through and made changes and were better because of it. But when he went through that, a young kid, and I'm sure he was scared to death when it was happening, was that something that you were able to use your past mistakes that you kind of lived through to help him through that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, most definitely. You know, I just told him to keep your head up. You know, I would, you know, try to not look at social media and don't let these people bother you, bro. Like, everybody makes mistakes. You're young. You just learn from it. That's all you can do. Just learn from it. It's life.
Did you also tell him that maybe he should go to La Bamba's instead of Taco Bell? Because
I would have told him probably you should have went to Viva, though. Viva's actually the good spot.
Probably take care of him better.
You might as well get an NIL deal with Taco Bell, though.
All right. So you the Harvard game, then it becomes too much. The stress fracture becomes too much. You aggravate it. You're out for 7 games. Can I just ask you a question overall about why is everything so goddamn secret when it comes to injuries for players? Like, what is that? Is that your decision? Is that Indiana's decision? Like, why is everything so secretive that no one can talk about what's really happening? No one knew that you had a crack in your foot for a couple months. Why?
I really don't know. It's just how they really do things around Indiana. Because, you know, just so many media outlets, you know, some people say the wrong things in their articles, and I think that's why they try to keep everything under the table. It's just smart, though, because you don't want to know everybody know your business, and that gives the other team a good scouting report on what you can't do, basically.
Does it, though? I mean, like, you know you're out. You know your foot's a problem. It's like, what are they going to do? Are they going to stomp on your foot? It's not professional wrestling. It's not like Zach Edey's going to come crush your foot with an elbow drop because he knows that you've got a bad foot.
I mean, you never know, though. You really never know. I just think, you know, particularly, I really don't know why they do it. I really don't know. You know,
the rules.
I know why they do it. Lawyers. They do it because of lawyers.
Yeah, probably. Probably. You're right. The worst. Okay. So you miss 7 games. You come back in January against Nebraska. Now, so let's just recap this real quick. You needed about a year to recover from a broken right foot. You have a screw in your foot and plates in your foot. Just when you come back from that, you get a stress fracture in your left foot, and you only miss 7 games and come back. What were you operating at? Like, what percentage were you? Were you? You couldn't have been 100% at that point when you came back against Nebraska.
Nah, I actually didn't come back. I didn't come back. I did come back, but I didn't. Like, it was actually true when Coach Woody said I really didn't have any practice under my belt. Like, I really just went out there and played. Because, you know, I went in practice and I did the non-contact drills and the layup drills that we do in practice. Just skill things. But I never really actually competed, like, one-on-one against a teammate to make sure I was actually good. I just wanted to go back out there and play. You know, I thought I was actually a vet to actually, you know, just go out there and try to be my best version of myself for us to win.
Well, the very next game, 3 days after your return, which was a tough blowout loss against Nebraska, where you didn't play all that much, 15 minutes, didn't score. But 3 days later, again, not 100%, no real practice time. You go for 18 points, 3 assists, 3 rebounds, and 0 turnovers, and lead us to a victory that we were the underdog in. Everybody assumed Ohio State at the time, which was playing really well, was going to smoke us. You guys come in. You come back from a deficit and you win that game. Did it feel like, oh, okay, things are going to roll? Or did you know, I'm still not 100% like this? I just don't know. Where was your head at that point?
You know, I thought I played really well in that game. You know, I thought I played with good pace, good composure. You know, things about me, I'm just compete. I just go out there and compete. And, you know, I did play a very, very solid game that game. You know, I just thought things were going in the right direction for me as well. I thought I was going to take the next step, you know, just as getting back to the player I was before injuring my left foot.
I know you're going to get back to, you know, the goal is when you've been injured, it's to just get back to where you were when you got injured. But that's not the end game. Like, you want to keep growing your game. As you just talked about, you're going to Vegas to work on your shot. Were you able, really, through either the season before or this season, was there any other aspects of your game when you're injured or coming back from the injury? Like, is there any way to grow your game when you're sidelined, when you're just in rehab? Or, like, are you working on the mental side of it? Are you looking at more film? Or what do you do to try to feel like you're still growing, not just getting back to where you were?
You know, when I was injured, the thing I did the most was, like, watch old games. I would watch a lot of NBA games, and I would watch a lot of TV of basketball. But I would watch a lot of basketball because, you know, I was just so bored and had really nothing to do. Play the game, too, as well. But I would say I watched more basketball than I actually played the game back when I was injured. It's kind of surprising because I play the game more now. I would definitely say I watched a lot of basketball just to work on the mental side of the game, you know, just to work on my reads. And, like, just to learn more basketball, you know, when you watch a whole bunch of basketball, you're going to learn. And that's just the nature about anything you do.
So 3 days after the Ohio State game, where we pull off this upset victory, we play Rutgers.
Oh, man.
And Rutgers has a player named Antoine Woolfolk. And at some point in the game,
I can't wait to talk about this.
I mean, either can I. What the hell happened here, X? Just so, like, what happened, really? No bullshit. What happened?
I'm going to say this. I did not grab what I grabbed, but I would say, though, I did tell Coach, like, after it looked like that. Like, I told him, like, because they got on me when they got in the locker room, of course, and I was like, I know what it looks like, but I didn't do it. Like,
what
I
do you
really
mean
didn't.
You didn't
what
do
did
it?
You do?
I didn't grab.
You didn't grab his, let's just say it, you didn't grab his junk. It looked like you were coming around to pick.
Yeah.
And it looked like what you were trying to do was to push his junk inside and come out his butthole. That's what it looked like you were doing. Okay. So what, you were obviously trying to make some contact coming around the pick. Are you saying it was a total accident?
Yeah, it was definitely acting because, you know, I'm not no player to, you know, just to do something dirty in the game. And I had just got going, too. I just made a bucket. It just came down. Like, I wasn't trying to take myself out the game for my team. Like, I know we were going to try to win that game. And if I stayed in the game, I believe we were going to win that game because I don't think Rutgers was they weren't the most talented team in the conference. And I thought we were actually really better than them. But, you know, it's really hard going to play at Rutgers. But, you know, when I made the play, though, it was like it was kind of a blind screen to where, like, I couldn't see where he was at. And I was defending the ball. The dude had took me downhill. He took me, I think he went right downhill and crossed back over. And then a dude came over, he came and screened. And once I lunged right, my movement, a regular basketball player's movement when the player turns is to go this way, just turn. So all I did was just turn. And then I was just lunged out, and it looked like that. So I was just like, all right, I made a basketball play, but it just didn't look like that. Because that was the first time I actually got thrown out of the game, too. It was for my very first time being thrown out of the game.
First time.
My whole life. I got in text, but I would never say I got thrown out of the game for something dirty like that. Never.
So when was the first time you saw the play? Did you see it in the locker room?
Yeah, I saw it in the locker room. I was like, it looks crazy, but it's just that. I think it was really the angle of the camera because they don't really have in that arena. They don't have a camera to cover every angle like they do in Assembly Hall. Like in Assembly Hall, you can get so many angles to where like you can see what really happened. And I think it was the angle of it was a straight down angle of just like I think you can only see him screen and you can see my arm just going under. Like I think that's the only angle it really had. So it really did look crazy. I told my coaches it did look crazy. You know, I think they were. It's something that you just laugh about now, though, because, like, what can you do?
Well, okay, so you can laugh about it now, but at the time, it was not funny because
the
season was not going well, obviously, and a lot of people – did you hear the buzz that came out of that? Because what came out of that as fans, as we do, it got blown up into something more. It got blown up into you're not there for your teammates. Yeah. There's no discipline on the team. You should be suspended. You know, what's going on with Indiana basketball that this kind of thing is allowed? Did you hear all that stuff?
I actually did. I did. I don't know. You know, I woke up one day, the next day, because, you know, we stayed overnight there, and I actually not. Yeah, I woke up the next day, the following morning when we came back. And, you know, I forgot his name, but it was some guy on YouTube. You know, he just talks about the players in a crazy way. It's not Dan Doggish, but it's somebody else.
I know who it is. I know who it is. Is it Ken Sterling?
Yes, 100%. It was Kent. It was definitely Kent. I don't know from anything, but I don't know what he has done in basketball. You know, just talk
nothing.
About the play.
He's done as much as we have.
Yeah,
nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, I did win the fantasy camp. I mean, no big deal.
Yeah, you know, I respect everybody's opinion, but you know,
as
to have
a bench player.
You know, you don't really know me as a person. Like to even talk about me on the internet, like you talk a good 15 minutes about me, and it's just like I don't know you. Like you could have brought me on there and talked to you, like and got to know me, because I'm not no type of kid that just plays dirty. And, you know, I play with a lot of passion. I play with a lot of emotion, but I never play dirty at all in any type of aspect. I've never been called a dirty player in each level I played at. Never been a dirty player.
Okay, so I'm curious about this. You're not. I don't think you're a dirty player. Never thought that, but. You are a player that likes to needle the other team, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like you like to get under their skin. Like,
yeah.
Was it the year? No, 2 years before against, was it Illinois in the Big Ten tournament? Were you like getting somebody's face in the sideline? You kind of coaxed them into a technical foul.
Oh yeah. That's
right.
You know, that's just, it's basketball. So, you know, where I come from is like the DMV. Like we talk when we play basketball, yes. Like it's just competing. It's not, you know, it doesn't last off the court and like we're beefing off the court like after the fact. Like, no, it's just basketball. You're competing. So I want to see the next players, you know, I want to see if they can take their game to the next another level. Because, you know, that's what I try to do. When I talk, I'm taking my game to the next level. So it's just like it's always been a part of me. Like it's just always been that next thing a part of my game. Cause you know, it's not just playing the game. It's a mental game too as well.
I would also interpret it, and please tell me if I'm correct, that there is a performance aspect of it too. You're out there and consciously or unconsciously, you're putting on a show.
Yeah.
And whether, you know, sometimes maybe it's for the refs, sometimes maybe it's for the home fans, sometimes maybe it's for the, you know, the visiting crowd. You like the theatrics of playing basketball.
Yeah, that's what people come to the game for. They just don't come to see you put the ball in the hole. Like, they come to see you put the ball in the hole, but they want to see other things too. Like, they want to see dudes compete, go back and forth with each other. Like, you know, I just think, you know, the game, that's how the game, like, I think that's how every basketball player is usually, you know, has grown around the game. And just being around the game, people talk mess to each other. Like, it's just a part of every sport, you talk mess to each other. Like, I just don't understand why basketball players cannot talk. Because, you know, if they say if we talk, well, honestly, if Xavier Johnson talks, I'm getting a tech. I'm gonna be blatantly honest, like, because I've seen it plenty of times. I've watched so many games, so we're like, I've seen dudes do what I do, you know, turn around to the bench after you make a three. I've seen nobody else get a tech but me. I'm gonna be honest, nobody else has gotten a tech forever.
But but some of that is because of you do play with a bit of an edge that welcomes the attention, right?
Yeah.
Like, for example. I'm going to do an impression of you coming off of a pick and roll, okay? All you need to focus on is from here up.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Like, what? Every time you do, no one is clotheslining your neck. No
one.
You
know, you gotta play with the refs, though. That's just playing with the refs. You know, I learned that from, you know, James Harden does it a lot. Luka does it a lot. A lot of the good players do it a lot. You're just trying to pick up a foul. You know, the refs might say, you know, yeah, the refs might say, you know, stop doing it, but you're just playing with the refs. Like, you just want to pick up another foul. Like, say, if it was, like, Zach Eater or something, like, if I go like that, like, it'd be something. It won't be a foul every time, but I'm going to at least get one call on him.
Okay, and that gets all right. I mean,
so this is a part of the game.
It's a little – you ever have to ice yourself after that? Because I've got a little soreness.
Nah,
I get a little soreness.
Nah,
all right,
let's, so much, it becomes you know, muscle memory.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. All right. So then, here's what's weird about that. So I assume, look, you didn't get suspended. There was no other repercussions, except you do get benched at that point in the season. So Did the coaches believe you that it was an accident? Did they bench you because of that? Did they remove you from the starting lineup because they just wanted to try something different because the year wasn't going well? What was communicated to you during that time, and were you pissed about it?
What was communicated to me was, I understood like what was going on, and I understood there was going to be a repercussion of what I did, and I knew that they weren't going to suspend me, because like suspending me was it was crazy, because I've already been out for a long period of time, and it's my last year playing college basketball too as well, and I'm a very vocal point to the team, so it's just like suspending me, it would have actually just hurt us even more. It would have set us back way further. But I was actually pissed, because they actually took me out of the starting lineup. I really didn't take it as well because I really didn't play as much. But I was actually really, really pissed off. I was really pissed off. And I think it actually showed on the floor. I'm gonna be honest, I really didn't want to be out there at that moment in time.
Okay.
I really
didn't. I'm glad you are being honest about this, because Ward and I saw some games around this time, and Ward would get mad at me because I'd be like, look at X. He doesn't want to be there.
This was the Minnesota game, and we were sitting directly across from you, and there's nowhere to hide.
You were on the bench, not really participating with your teammates, not paying attention to the game, and it killed me and it bothered me, because we know you and we know how important you are. This is one of those like learning moments, right? So how do you get out of that funk? Were the coaches talking to you? Is there someone you were listening to? Is it your dad, your mom that you're talking to? Like, what gets you out of that funk? Because you do turn it around.
I think it was honestly my dad. He told me to grow up. I'm not gonna say the words he used, but he told me, yeah, I just had to grow up. Just play basketball. Be there for your teammates, and don't look pouty, because you are the leader on the team. You're the captain, so you can't look like you you just don't care. Because I really did. I was actually mad at myself after the fact for what I did. I apologize to the team too as well. Because that's just not. I don't ever want to be perceived as the player that's just the cancer on the team, because that's never been me as well.
I feel like it had to be the compounding of so many things that you'd been going through. Again, to the earlier point, some of it your fault, some of it definitely not your fault.
Yeah.
Was this the episode, the moment where you come out on the other side, you apologize to the teammates, we know things are heading in a brighter direction once you finally fully get back, at least as healthy as you're going to be this season? Do you think that's the moment you look back 5 or 10 years from now and being like, that was kind of it when I decided to grow up and like leave that childish bullshit behind?
Yeah, that's something that you definitely look back on, because it's so many things in life that really you go through that are just not fair as well. You just don't get your way in life all the time, and that's just in the real work world, in anything, a lot of things don't always go your way, and you just gotta have humility about yourself, and just keep being the same person and never really show like your true emotions.
Well, it seems like mentally you start to turn it around. You had a decent game against Wisconsin, even though they beat us, but then you played a really good game against number 10 Illinois on the road when everybody assumed they would blow us out. And the truth is, you guys had a chance to win that game. You were in that game and just didn't hit the shots that needed to be hit. But you have a great game in that game. You go for 14 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists. You play 34 minutes in that game. It seemed like old X, good X is back now. And then that rolls into the Iowa game, where you again have start the game. You're playing well. You score 9 points. We end up winning this game, but the injury bug hits you again. You make this drive at the end. You fall on your elbow. It looked like you were. It looked like your arm was going to have to be amputated.
Yeah, I thought I broke it. I honestly did thought I broke it.
You thought you broke it.
I thought I broke it. I really did. Cause I saw it actually like pop out the way I landed. I saw it pop out and it popped like right back in. Like I think my semi.
So what was the injury exactly? Was it like tendons and stuff and ligaments?
Yeah, it was a tendon. I tore a tendon in my I think it's a ligament. It might be a ligament. I think it was a ligament. I tore my arm, and so I couldn't even. I couldn't even dribble the ball in my left hand. And then it was like that for about 3 weeks, I want to say.
Yeah, you're out of action for almost 4 weeks. I think actually you are out for 4 weeks. And then you come back for the Wisconsin game at home. And you could tell, like, you're not 100%. Your feet aren't 100%. Your arm's not 100%. But you're gutting it out. And then this return coincides with the best stretch of basketball that Indiana has played since your first year at Indiana, the end of the year again. And you guys go on this run, and you are playing after the Wisconsin game. You play 32 minutes against Maryland, 22 against Minnesota, 29 against Michigan State, all wins, by the way. Penn State, a win in the Big Ten tournament. You're not scoring a ton because clearly you don't have all your tools, but you are leading the team to victory, which is like amazing considering what this season was. We talked a little bit about it at the beginning, but how good did it feel to just be part of this team and helping a team win when it was such a difficult year?
I thought it was fun. Sometimes it did get overwhelming. I did look back on it, and I really enjoy being with this team. Being around the young guys, just getting to know them, making lifelong relationships with them too as well. Some of them going separate ways from Indiana, but they're really still family to me as well. Just being with the young guys, because most of the guys were on the team last year, so it was kind of different for me because we had 10 new guys on the team too as well. For the expectation of people weren't thinking that we were going to be the top 25 team that we were last year. That's kind of overlooking things because we had to have time where you had to come together. And I think that it was just so many injuries just through the whole year. Not even just me, with Trey getting injured at the end of the season, that really hurt us a lot too as well, because, he was playing really, really, really well at the point guard spot. I think he was about to break Isaiah Thomas' record, I think, for assists. I want to believe.
Oh, really? I didn't know.
I don't think it's like the assist record, but it has to do with assists. It definitely has something to do with assists.
I want to ask from your perspective, something we certainly got to see 2 years ago with Coach Woodson's first season and with this season. And I guess maybe to a lesser degree, the second season, but certainly in seasons 1 and 3, this team coming together at the end of the season. And what, from your perspective, does Coach Woodson do to allow the team to kind of find its footing as the season goes along and be performing its best basketball late February into March?
I just think that's the mentality that, just the players have too, just as well as the coaches. I think we understand, with them being young too as well, right? They understood, the end of the season is where you're really supposed to play well. The best teams play, I think the really good teams, they play their best basketball towards the end of the year. And I think, we were getting that way, but, through all the injuries and, just the losses that we had, I would say in January, that actually really hurt us.
Do you feel like it's anything he does where he's just like, you guys figure it out? Like, you guys need to figure out who you are and how you play together? Or do you see any degree of him sort of figuring out as the season goes and be like, what's going to work better, this or this? Or is it just, nope, we were injured and we got healthy?
Nah, that's definitely Coach Woodson never blames injury as a part of why their team doesn't have success. A basketball team is not just based off of one person. It's based off a whole unit. It's a team sport. The guys, they just realized they had to step up in certain ways. They were going to have bigger roles. They were going to have to play basketball. Honestly, they were going to grow up in front of their eyes. And Coach Woodson, we practice hard. That's one thing. We practice really, really hard. We play a lot, usually during practices. But I think towards the end of the year, though, we really don't play as much because we play so much basketball during the year. Your body's already torn down.
One follow up on that. I think there was a lot of noise this season as the wheels seemed to be coming off of Coach Woodson potentially losing the locker room. And maybe that was going to result in losing a lot of players, not just those of you out of eligibility, but guys who could hop in the portal, particularly guys who were productive for us and we wanted to make sure stayed. Is what from a player's point of view, you're specifically, it seemed senior night, you know, with Anthony, with Gallo, both talking about Coach Woody. How do players feel about Woody as their coach?
You know, every player, I think every player feels really confident about him. You know, he's a real guy. Like he will have your back through the hard times and good times. That's what people don't really understand. Cause you know, when he means family, he really means it. Like it's no joke. I would say he's always in your corner. I just think, like, you know, some players, different players, he's really, really hard on. Like I would say I was.
You were number one.
Definitely number one. I was definitely number one. I was definitely number one. And I don't think a lot of dudes didn't really understand, like, he's just trying to be hard. You know, being hard on you, holding you accountable, it actually pushes you to, it makes you and grows you to be a better person and better basketball player too, because that's what he really wants. He wants the best for each and every player. He wants each and every player to get what they want and what they deserve.
I think that's so important for the fans to hear that coming from UX. Nobody's had, you know, more ups and downs in their career and has been there since day one with Coach Woodson. And for everybody knows he gives you a hard time and that you're sitting here today and he can't make you run sprints anymore. And you're saying like he the love is real, the family is real, and he wants what's best for you. I think that's really important that the fan base hear that.
Oh yeah. He's a great coach. I don't understand why, you know, our fans, you know, they just try to, you know, push out the neck. They try to push out the coach when, you know, things aren't going as well. Cause you know, everything is not going to be always successful. You know, you're going to have hardships. You know, I just think, you know, he's done a great job of, you know, putting good teams together and, you know, bringing back Indiana to the culture it really was.
I can't remember which game it was, but the moment where, and I hate talking about guys that are no longer part of the program, but I love this guy. The moment where Peyton Sparks took off from one side of the basket and then tried to go under the basket and threw it hard on the underside of the rim, where he tried to be like Michael Jordan. Do you remember that play?
I want to say that is either Wisconsin, or that sounds like it was in a Purdue game.
Do you think that was the funniest moment of the year?
I promise you.
Did you see on social media that somebody took the video and put it with, I believe I can fly? Peyton's a great guy, though, right?
You know, Peyton's a really good guy. You know, he's a solid guy. I don't think he's a guy that you want to mess with at all. Because he actually is a real, real, real diesel guy. Like, he's a real diesel guy. Really strong, can jump. You know, and I think, you know, his right place was Ball State. You know, I think he's a really good basketball player, but I just think that, you know, Ball State is really his niche.
I agree. So you said you're leaving tomorrow, right?
Yes, sir.
Is that permanently leaving Bloomington?
No? No. I think I would, my lease is not until July, but I want to say.
Well, let's talk a little bit about your time in Bloomington overall. Favorite single moment, just one moment that you look back to on your 3 years, what is your single favorite moment?
There's just so many.
I love that. It's a family show, though, so keep it PG.
I want to say,
drafting Ward at the fantasy camp?
Nope.
No.
Nope. 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 I love that you're really thinking about it. I love it.
Yeah, it's really so many. Like, it's really so many of them.
Pick one that stands out. It doesn't even have to be your ultimate favorite. Give us one.
One that stands out is, you know, one of my first days on campus. You know, when the team just out. I just got here. I just transferred here. It was my first day. What are you doing? was my first day, and I think we just played pickup. You know, that's a great time for me. You know, just to, you know, meet the new guys. You know, meet my new family members. And you know, just I think that I really do think that was one of my favorite moments.
Awesome. All right, biggest regret.
Biggest regret, I would say.
Drafting Ward on your fantasy team.
My biggest, I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't say it's one of my biggest regrets, but it's one of the regrets I have is, you know, I'm going to be honest. I wasn't driving my car 90 miles per hour, but, you know, I was driving it fast. But I would say that was one of my biggest regrets because, you know, I'm a better person than that. And I've never actually I didn't want to put myself in that predicament at all. I would say that's probably my biggest regret because I think that, you know, people got the wrong outlook after that of me, of who sure. I actually was.
I believe we asked this off-season question to you last year. Which program, which college team do you hate the most? Now that you're all done with college, who's the team? You can give bulletin board material now. So who are just the biggest bag of dicks of any team out there?
Rutgers.
Yeah. I think that's what you said last time. So
that didn't change. I thought it would change this year, you know, with all their guys leaving. But, nah, they just get a whole bunch of guys that, you know, that are just, you know, try to be bullies on the basketball floor. You know, they're those guys, man. When we were in the game with them, they were talking. I don't think they won a game. And it is sad to say because we lost to them, but it's just like, come on, y'all. Like y'all haven't won a game and y'all are talking like y'all are like the best players in the country. Like, it was just crazy what they were saying. Like, it's really crazy. It's really crazy. And I'm mad that I can't get it back, anything back. But, you know, I really wish and pray I did.
Well, you'll always have the moment where you castrated one of them.
At that point, I should have did something more crazy after that.
Yeah, you should have just kicked him in the nuts. I mean, if they were going to kick you out of the game. You've been there 3 years. We've asked you this a couple times, but you got one more meal to have in Bloomington. Just one. What's your meal going to be in Bloomington?
I'm going to say Runcible.
Runcible spoon for breakfast,
breakfast, lunch, and dinner. It don't matter.
I didn't even know they were open for dinner. What do they serve for dinner? Pancakes and eggs.
They have like a pan seared salmon. They have like a rabbit. What I usually get is I really just went there. I just came from there, honestly.
Nice.
I get the ravioli ravioli pasta with Alfredo and salmon.
Wow. Mm.
Okay.
Nice. I love Runcible.
Really good. You know, I got the mimosas too. So, but actually, they do real well over there. You know, it's a nice little vibe. You know, outside on the porch, in front of their little in their little house. You know, it's actually a good spot.
Only one class can take the title of the class that you hated the most. What was your least favorite class as an Indiana University student?
You know, I was in a sex class. And like where they're actually talking about, like, you know, I don't even want to talk about it no more. It was almost like being you know, just learning the birds and the bees again, but it was kind of a little bit different. Like, you search pictures of, because I was in a class with Miller, and Miller, like, you know, I love Miller so much because he's just a funny guy, down to earth funny guy. And he would like, he would answer questions just to like be funny though. Like, yeah. And it was like the right answer, but it was just like a boy, better. Like,
do they show you videos in that class?
Yes.
Like,
of humans?
Like, yeah. Are they showing you porn?
Basically.
This sounds like a great class.
Why is this the least favorite class?
Because I just didn't. You know, it's just so many people in there. We're just like all talking about it. Like, it's like a big, it's like a lot. It's a lot of people in there. Like, and I'm like, dang, is that many people interested in sex or not? And, you know, I didn't really choose that class. You know, I just had it because it was one of the classes.
But by the way, everyone's interested in sex. I mean, everyone.
Oh, yeah. Don't get me wrong. But we're talking about, you know, I'm gonna just say when we're talking about females, it's different. When you're talking about a man, I don't play that. I don't know. No good. No good. I don't like talking about that. I don't like talking about that.
Was it after this class that you did your own crotch check on the Rutgers guy? Were you just trying to get firsthand knowledge after the class?
Nah, I took that class last year.
X-Man, I want to ask you, Indiana's putting together this TBT team where they're going for the $1 million prize. Is that a possibility for you at all?
Maybe, but you know, they haven't reached out to me. But you know, I just want to focus on, you know, getting the draft process, going through the draft process, you know, figuring out my next step. Cause you know, I'm really trying to go train really hard right now to you know, go to the NBA. Cause that's, you know, my dream. I want to make this a dream come true.
And we want you to make that dream come true too. There's a lot of places you can play professional basketball and you don't always have to take a direct route, right? A lot of guys go other places. Is that something you would consider playing international?
Oh yeah, it's definitely something, but I told my parents, I think that's probably my last route, my plan B. Cause you know, I really want to, you know, make things work and, you know, just be another inspiration. You know, I'm gonna be honest. Like I know I'm not going to get drafted, but you know, I think I really do have a good chance, you know, working the next guy out, the next spot. Cause you know, I've always been an underdog about my whole life. And, you know, I've been successful being that type of guy. And, you know, I think it's just God's timing, honestly, you know, through all the hardships I've been through, ups and downs, you know, the learning experiences, the injuries, you know, I think I've learned so much, you know, I've been through a lot. And I think that's really why, you know, I really can succeed at the next level.
Going back to working on your shot, I mean, you were one of the best shooters at IU throughout your career. Maybe not a lot of competition most of the time, but you were still pretty good on the percentages. I wonder, as you're going to take that to the next level, does the form stay the same? Are you working on that form at all? Because it is funky, but it works. So how do you approach that?
I mean, but it's not like when people say like my shot is like funky, I don't really like think it's like so out of like pocket. You know, I do like, you know, shoot a little bit different than the other guys. Like nobody says nothing to those. They say it, but you know, Halliburton, like, exactly. Like, you know, his work, like, but
it's true.
You know, it's just a matter, you know, just creating space and opportunity. You know, I have a whole bunch of speed. I get to the rim. I do other good things. You know, shooting the basketball is just one aspect of the game. Like, this is one aspect, like, you know, and it's a really, really, I would say, like, the difference between like this generation and last generation is the 3-point line, and you got to be able to shoot the ball. And I think that's what basketball is really rotating to. Like, basketball is honestly taking that route, so, you know, more guys shoot more threes because threes are more worth more than twos.
Do you think Coach Woody can get a team that puts up 3-pointers? Is it just more kind of like between injuries and roster construction, it just hasn't clicked yet? Do you think we could see a team that actually puts up some threes going forward?
You know, the way Coach Wilson likes to play, he likes to play inside out. You know, I think that's the way, like, you know, just I think that was his generation of playing basketball, you know, and it's his way of working. You know, because like he has had a whole bunch of success, you know, playing inside out, you know, playing with the bigs and then playing with the guards too as well. You know, I think that it was just another aspect when, you know, especially when I was going crazy in the little 8-game span, you know, just having the pick and roll game working too as well, getting downhill, throwing lobs to Trace, spraying the ball out to, you know, Parker and Miller. I just think it's a whole lot of things that, you know, Coach Wilson has under his belt. You know, just being a basketball coach and coming from the NBA, because I think that's why they got the team they had, because like the film actually shows like what we could actually do. I just think, you know, throughout the injuries, you know, that the team's been through, I think it just what didn't really come together as they really wanted to.
All right, X, you know, we've loved you since the first time we got to chat with you. It's been fun and also emotional watching your journey throughout, because we know how bad you wanted it, how much of a competitor you are, and how many things outside of your control got in the way. And then you hit some bumps in the road that I do believe you have grown from. You're a good young man, and people that don't know you don't realize that. The thing I've always liked about you more than anything is your honesty. You've always been honest with us. You don't hide from anything. And I really appreciate that. That will serve you well. We're rooting like hell for you, man. You know, we're supporters of yours, and anything we can do to help you, even though that's probably very little, we will, because we just want you to be successful. We know you gave it everything you had at Indiana. It didn't always go from a results standpoint the way you wanted it to, but I will remember you fondly as a guy who gave it everything you had on the court. I like you. I'll always like you and wish you nothing but the best, man.
Appreciate you. Appreciate both of you guys.
Hey, Coach. Know wherever you are, whatever you're doing, these two assholes in Southern California are cheering loudly for you. So keep in touch, man. We'll be following your career with great interest.
Thank you.
All right. Be good, man.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
See you, brother.
That was our guest.
Why didn't we get him to do the ending?
Because we never get anybody to do the ending ever.
It's really ridiculous. I got to be honest with you, man. I loved his transparency.
I mean, exit interview, right? All cards on the table.
But not everybody is like that, Ward. We've done some of these before.
But with X being who he is now, to your point, he's already pretty direct and pretty open and honest guy every time we've talked to him on air or off. But now when he doesn't have those, you know, political considerations of still being on a team, very, very refreshing. Don't know if I buy the buying the junk argument, but I think he believes that's what he did.
Yeah, you know what? I want to give him the benefit of the doubt because I don't think he's a liar. I don't. I honestly think he's an honest guy. And I just don't know at this point what he would gain from. He's just like, yeah, man, I wanted to turn and just, I was pissed off and I hate Rutgers and I wanted to just crush the guy. I don't know. Like I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. I'm going to choose to believe it. I like X. I wish it would have gone differently outside of a few pockets of games. I will say, though, look, we've got video evidence, Ward, of you and I on my back patio during that Big Ten tournament run and the end of that season in X's first year, where we upset Illinois and Michigan, right, in that tournament. Yeah. And you and I were hugging each other and celebrating like we won the championship. And I realized that shows how far things have gone with Indiana. But those were awesome games, and it got us back into the tournament. It did get us back into the tournament. And X was the reason, as much as Trace was, that happened. And that was a really fun time.
It was. And we like to reinforce this narrative. We haven't been good for a decade. We haven't been good for 30 years, whatever you want to call it. But there has been some real shining moments, some real fun, some real hope, even if maybe later it gets dashed, that you can't take that away from us. And to your point, X was chiefly responsible for those things. And I will always remember his time at IU, as while there were many disappointments, I will think of him and his time here fondly. And I meant to say this to him. I'm really glad he left Pittsburgh and he became a Hoosier. And I not only think of him fondly as a guy who came here and did his very best, but just a human being that I really like and I really want good things for moving forward in life.
Yeah, X always took time to talk to kids, always signed autographs, was always good with people. When we did the fantasy camp, he interacted with people and engaged with people in a way that was great. And he gave you his shoes.
Shoes. He gave me the shoes off his feet.
Yeah, I mean, he did. You needed shoes. Only Ward shows up to a basketball fantasy camp without basketball shoes.
They gave us shoes. We're going to get shoes, but they're not going to be basketball shoes. That makes no sense.
No one said they would
get Darby Shire on the phone. This is bullshit.
Anyway, you wore X's shoes. That was awesome. He's a good guy. I do wish him nothing but the best. I got to say, though, if I'm the TBT team, I would want him as the starting point guard in that environment.
Yeah, I have no idea what the other folks are going to look like, age range, experience, yada, yada. But yes,
I'd want him. The guy, I mean, he's so strong, quick, and fast. And in that environment,
who's in charge of that for us?
I forget. Well, Christian Watford's involved.
Right.
Watford's involved. We should shoot Watford a message saying, hey, what's going on? Get X on this team. But I also wonder if that would get in the way of him doing all the tryouts that he needs to do to get into, you know, hopefully sign on with the G League team, something like that. Anyway, love X. And I was really happy that he answered, didn't shy away from anything. Look, the guy made his own failings at times at Indiana, and owns it. Like he didn't have to say that that was his biggest regret. He could have avoided it, but he hits it head on. That's a bad phrase to use when you're talking about a guy with a potential car accident.
Yeah, but nobody got hit. Nothing happened.
That's true. Anyway, I appreciate his honesty and willingness to come on and talk about anything and everything. So, as always, follow us on Twitter at Hoosier Hysterics for the hysterics. No E.
No I. But sometimes
why. Bad as always.
From the halls of assembly, you'll hear a screaming shout. Our love of Indiana is manic and devout. Everything I do, we discuss in unique manner. We won't be satisfied until we hang another banner. Us two goofy guys go by names of Ward and Eric. And as you probably know by now, we're Hoosier Hysterics. Hoosier Hysterics. Hoosier Hysterics.